Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Peach State Pandemonium, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Take a trip down memory lane for a look at professional wrestling the way it used to be. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear as PSP rides again. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Peach State Pandemonium with your hosts, Mike Norris, Jerry Oates, and Bobby Simmons.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Peach State Pandemonium. This is Mike Norris, and as always, I am joined by my co-hosts, Bobby Simmons and Jerry Oates. Bobby is, I don't know, man, we're going to start calling you Snowman or something.
I heard that, brother. I heard that.
I can't believe I listened to Rich's show last night, and he mentioned that they were forecasting a slight chance of snow for Atlanta last night and this morning, but 2 inches.
It varied depending on where you were, from a dusting to 2 inches, and I was one of the places where it, I guess because I live on a hill here, I caught the wind that was blowing, and it blew it all toward me, but it was about 2 inches deep when I left this morning.
3 o'clock.
So it was nice. It was pretty, and it didn't, you know, it didn't stick to the roads because it was too warm yesterday to stick it to, for it to freeze on the concrete, but had a nice warm day today. It's all gone, and now they're predicting 50s and 60s for Saturday and Sunday, so
well,
I'm ready for it.
Mike said he didn't think the winter was over, Bobby. What you need to do is go into the snowmobile business.
I heard that, brother. Give me a snow plow, you know.
Put his bobsled away.
Well, Michael is coming up to my house tomorrow night. I just don't bring the cold weather with you, brother. Just leave it down there.
That's the reason I'm coming up there, because it's too cold down here. I'm getting away from it.
Well, it's supposed to be nice.
The high
today
was 38.
Well, I was asked by our friend Mr. Bowman to remind everyone that we're 4 weeks away from the Gulf Coast Wrestling Reunion. And anybody that might be listening that was a part of our business, either active or retired, and you know, if you were a promoter or a wrestler or a referee or office worker, or, you know, you had to be directly in the business. This is not for the fans. This is actually for the boys. That you're invited down to the Gulf Coast Reunion. And it's the, I believe the actual days are the 10th and the, or the 11th and 12th.
The 11th and 12th.
That's Friday night, and then most of the day Saturday. And a lot of us get there early in the week, and we stay at a hotel there locally. And we have as much fun at the hotel as we do out at the reunion. So love to have you come down. And Jerry, did you write those days down there, brother?
I got them written down, sir.
Good deal. We're looking for you. So looking for a great time. So, Mr. Bowman, there you go. I have gave you your plug.
Yeah, we're going to put you and Joe Turner in a room together, Jerry.
Listen, if you're there and your door's open, trust me, Joe Turner will be by. He takes a week's vacation every year so that he can be there. He's usually standing in front of the hotel when we get there. We run him off at night where we can go to bed, and he's usually there before we get dressed the next morning ready to go eat breakfast. And
he's the ambassador.
Yes, yes he is. I sure am proud I can call him friend, though. What a great guy. What a great guy.
And speaking of the reunion, the heart and backbone of the reunion, Florence Fields, is a lot of us know she has been battling some health issues. She had lung cancer and had part of one of her lungs removed back a few months ago, and then just last week they discovered two more tumors, one behind her ear and one close to her brain. Well, she had those, went back in the hospital last week and had that taken, or actually, maybe, no, it was over the weekend. But she is now, the good news is she is now at home. She's at her sister's house, so she is out of the hospital. And still determined that she's going to be there at the reunion. And I've got my fingers crossed. I hope she does, because it won't be the same without her.
Well, if anybody's tough enough to make it, that girl is. I'm looking forward to be there.
I am too. I hope so. It was a blow when we lost Ann Bowman, because she was the heart and backbone, and Florence has, not that anybody could replace Ann, but Florence has taken a lot of that load that Ann used to do, and has carried on with it, and you know, she's done that on top of working a full time job, and her husband Don Fields has not been in the best of health for the last couple of years either, and even though he is in a rehabilitation home, you know, she's had to still have to deal with that and everything. So she's had a lot on her plate, and but still, you know, she's been the glue that's held our reunion together, and love her to death, and can't say enough good things about Florence, and I'm like Bobby, I'm hoping she will be there. I'm looking to. She's always the first face I see when I walk in the door, and with that smile on her face, and if you can tell you're at the reunion, man.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, do you want me to come get you? You want to ride? You want me to send Charlie down by to get you?
Send somebody to get me. Send somebody. Send somebody after me.
It's not that long a trip. It's only 6 hours.
Oh, come on, man. It's tougher than that from here.
Yeah, no. From Savannah? Is it straight across?
It's 4 hours to Columbus.
It's about 3.5 from Columbus to Mobile. Depends on how fast you drive.
Well, I know Bobby might swing by somebody to come get me. I'll be standing out front.
Yeah, if you leave Sunday night, you'll be there by Wednesday, you know, and that's when we get there.
You can go through Dothan, you can go by Oxford, Alabama, and go through Dothan.
Yeah.
Oh.
Go by and see the aluminum pig. I'm assuming that's still there. I don't know. I haven't been to Dothan in 30 years.
It has to be.
As like when I first moved to Atlanta, the first year I lived in Atlanta, I actually lived in Marietta. Of course, this was in the early 80s, so that was the days of the big chicken. If you ever went anywhere in Marietta, your directions were go this through the big chicken and turn one way or the other. Well, Dothan was the same way. It was the aluminum pig. Anywhere you wanted to go, you just went to the pig and either turned left, right, went straight, or whatever. And Dothan's got a perimeter, too, but unlike Atlanta, I think Dothan's perimeter is about 2.5 miles total. So.
That's big enough.
Well,
good,
I should say I'm looking forward to it. And I have also finalized my plans. I'm going back to Vegas this year, so I'll try to report in from the Cauliflower Alley get-together this year. I'll be back home. Hopefully I'll be home in time for the show that night. I'm coming back on Thursday.
I hadn't even thought about that, about doing the show, because you guys normally get here on Thursday. We may do the
Mobile?
Show from Bobby's hotel room, yeah.
Oh, we get there Wednesday.
That's true.
Yeah.
We go to dinner on Thursday night.
But we can we'll figure something out.
Yeah, we may let Jerry do it by himself. That'll be his punishment if he doesn't show up to Mobile. Yeah. We'll make you do the show by yourself.
I don't care. Follow me in, brother.
I was going to say we'd get Charlie to co-host with you, but he'll be down here too, so. Well, this week, guys, I wanted to focus a little bit on Jerry and his brother and tag team partner. And at one time, adversary, I guess you guys, you know, everybody talks about Owen and Bret Hart doing the first brother versus brother thing, but you guys actually did it several years before they did. I know when only... did the turn on Dusty in 1980 in Georgia, or 81, or whenever it was. They hinted at him and Lars having a feud, but they never did even work any matches with each other, which is, Jerry, you and Ted actually wrestled each other a couple of times, didn't you? I know you did
several
tag matches.
Yeah, several times we wrestled each other.
So there was something else you guys pioneered that you don't get credit for. But let me see if I can't get Ted on the line here, and we'll turn it over to the Oak. This will become the Oak Show.
While you're dialing him, I'll just throw this in. Ole and Lars did have a feud. It just never made it to the ring.
Lars had a feud with a lot of people.
Yes, he did.
It's not something I can tell on the air, but there was a thing that's fairly famous of a confrontation between Lars and your brother-in-law in Tuscaloosa.
I heard about it.
Well, I didn't have any dealings with Lars till late in his career, but he was a piece of work.
Hello. Hey.
Hey, it's Michael Norris at P-State Pandemonium. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. Got your brother Jerry and Bobby Simmons on the air with us, too. Welcome to P-State Pandemonium.
All right. I appreciate it.
I've been wanting to do this for a while, and finally got the opportunity to get you and Jerry on. I just wanted to kind of take a look back at the two of yours. Of you together and separately, your careers. Now, Jerry, you started what, 1970?
1970.
And when did you
break in? 1970, not 1870 now. A lot of people.
Ted, when did you get into this?
1972.
Well, this is, you were refereeing before then, because I know Charlie.
I refereed the very first match I ever refereed was in America's Georgia. It was Jimmy Dancing Bear and Buddy Cope. I'll never forget it. Then I had my very first match April the 15th, 1972, against Carl von Stroheim in America.
Wow.
Long time ago.
And then you guys went to, the first territory you guys worked together was for Billy Golden, right, Montgomery?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I think Jerry was in, where were you, Jerry?
I was in Mobile.
That's right. And then, then you came there, and then that's when you went to Georgia. Yeah, that's right.
You guys get to work with Burrhead?
We teamed up with him. I don't think I ever wrestled.
The guys that were over there then were, oh gosh, Jerry, you got that maybe. Buddy Wayne, Jerry Myatt, Jerry, what was the Mexican guy?
Ramon Perez, wasn't it?
He was there, but there was another Mexican guy there. I can't remember his name either.
And there was an Indian guy there. Of course, Jimmy Golan was there. Gosh, there wasn't a whole bunch of them.
The guy, Marconi, Frank Marconi and his son.
Yeah, Jim Marconi.
Marconi.
I forgot all about them. I remember being in Montgomery one night. This is where Jerry got there, and Buford Pusser had come to referee a match. I didn't know who he was. Because he died, what, 74? Something like that?
74, 75, somewhere in there, yeah. It wasn't long
anyhow,
after the movie came
he had come to referee a match between Jimmy Golden and, can't remember who it was, and I was, he was a real nice guy, and he took his shirt off, and man, put his referee shirt on, he had scars all over him. And I'm, you know, I'm sitting there looking at him, trying not to look at him, but I'm looking at him. He said, "I messed up, aren't I?" I said, "Yeah, pretty much." But he was a super nice guy, real, real nice guy. Gosh, that seems like 1,000 years ago. Gee whiz.
And then
Jerry went to Georgia.
That's where
and
we
I
were
stayed.
When everything went haywire in the business.
Yep.
I had already gotten my notice to come to Georgia, and then in between that, but by the time I got my starting date in Georgia, and it was only like 3 or 4 days before I started, that's when Ray passed away here in Savannah, and then there you have it. That's when it started.
Yeah.
And Bobby, you got to know all about this because you were there firsthand too.
I'm just in awe, man. You guys are my heroes. I used to go watch y'all when I was a little boy, and I'm speechless.
You know what? Hey, Bobby, I was at Kroger the other night, and there was I always cut up with the cashiers and stuff in there. So somebody was asking me about wrestling, and this guy was standing behind me. He said, "What's your name?" And I told him. He said, "You had a brother named Jerry, right?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I remember watching you," same thing you just said. He said, "I remember watching you when I was a little boy. That guy is as old as me." I mean, I turned 59 and over. That guy was all broke up and bent over just like me. I said, "Really?"
Oh, I have to do that all the time. I was a little boy when you were doing it. I said, "I was a little boy when you was watching me."
I heard that.
It's amazing.
You say you just turned 59, Ted?
Yep.
I'll be 56 this year. I knew you were a little older than me, but I knew
you'll
we were close.
How much, Bobby?
I'll be 56 this year.
You'll never see 56 again, man.
Well, I feel like a baby now. I just turned 52, so I don't feel so bad now.
No, you were another one that watched this when you was a little boy, right?
I did you. I watched you in Mobile. I wasn't a little boy. I was 13 or 12 or 13 when you came through here. But I actually wrestled Ted somewhere along the line for Fuller when the time he was working for Fuller in the early 80s. You wouldn't recognize me, Ted. I'd have to lay down. You'd have to pin me for you to recognize me.
I'm trying to think of that Indian guy's name that was over there. Jerry, remember the kid that was with him? His name was Chewy.
Thundercloud.
Oh, Thundercloud.
Thundercloud, that's it.
What
would happen
to those two?
I have no idea.
He was a Mexican. His name was Jesus something or other.
He was a nice fella. Real nice guy. Thundercloud, that was it. Bobby, I was going to ask you, Mike, maybe you'll know, whatever happened to, is Silento Rodriguez still alive?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He was at a reunion 2 years ago, Mike?
2 years ago here in Mobile, yeah.
Other than he's white-headed, he could climb in the ring.
Yep.
He still lives in San Antonio?
Absolutely wonderful.
He lives in, it's some little, I want to say it's near San Antonio, it's a little town in Texas, and I can't think of the name of it. I want to say Round Rock or something like that. But, yeah, he's still in Texas, and like Bobby said, looks great. Another
he's
Roberto
nice
Soto
guy.
Is the same way. Roberto Soto, he's not quite as big as he was, but Soto, he could probably, other than the bad neck he's got, he could probably step into the ring tomorrow.
Well, I don't know if y'all were ever around Silento or not. He made more racket than anybody I know in a dressing room. Oh, man, the talker here. We all ever around him in the dressing room?
I never had a chance to work with him. I didn't meet him until the reunion. But I was going to tell you this. It's amazing to me. Him and his wife are some kind of Texas two-step dance champions. And they actually had them dance at the reunion. It is the most remarkable thing I've ever seen in my life. She lays her head on his shoulder and takes her hand and puts it on his back and beats the time to the song on his back, and that's how he has the rhythm to dance.
Well, let me tell you, he caused more ruckus on the dressing room. I mean, good guy, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, he going around, you know, making that noise, trying to get everybody to It was he was a good guy though, man. Really, I mean, he was good. Lord, he was noisy.
He first came into Louisiana. Kelly was telling me this story. He first came to work for Lee in Louisiana. He had been in the Gulf Coast in the early '60s, but he had been gone for a while. But he came in when they were running in Louisiana, and Kelly had worked up this scheme for he and Salento to pull his rib on Lee Fields, the promoter. And Kelly kept telling Lee, he can hear. You know, he's been faking all these years. And Lee said, No, I've known him for years. He can't hear. And what Kelly had worked out was he had, in the dressing room, he had Salento sitting on the bench with his back to the door. And he had another guy sitting across from him. And they were both lacing up their boots when Kelly told Salento, he said, look at the guy, just keep watching the guy across, sitting across from you, and when Lee comes to get you, I'm going to have this guy do a little something that'll trigger you, and you wave your hand and say, okay. So Lee came down the hall and told him it was time for his match, and the guy did whatever the little signal was, and without even turning around and looking, Salento raised his hand up and waved and said, okay. And he said, I beat Dale.
That's good.
I saw him work a lot of times, and he was a tremendous worker.
So very, very good. Yes,
he's a nice guy. Bobby, here's another guy I was going to ask you about. Is Charlie Cook still around?
Last I heard, somebody told me Charlie Cook is in Alabama working for a recreation department, but I can't tell you what city.
I've heard a couple. I'd heard Tuscaloosa, but then I heard something else. I can't remember what the second city was I'd heard.
He was another guy. He was a good guy, real good guy.
Remember the kid, the guy in Athens, Ted, used to sit outside the dressing room, or he stood by the door back there, and when he kept his arms folded, and when you guys would come out, he'd just turn his head around, and he'd all give you the same line, my man.
Yeah, and you still use that on me.
Oh.
I remember one night, and me and Jerry's talked about this, I don't know how many times, we were in Griffin one night. And, of course, that was Charlie Harvin's town, right? So we were in there laughing about something. Bobby, you remember how the dressing room was? It was like under the bleachers, you remember?
Right.
So we were in there laughing about something. Me and Jerry and I forget who else was in there. Harvin coming in, he said, what the hell's going on here? He said, there ain't nothing that funny.
When he said that, that was funny. There, what was going on?
Oh man!
And you remember? You know, Charlie Harbin had this distinctive walk.
Oh please!
Oh
you
yes.
Know, his back was messed up. He had gout. He walked. You know, Dromo told me they were in Hoganville one night, and somebody didn't show up, so they put Harbin under a mask. And he said, Harbin come out of the dressing room with a mask on, and he said, some kid was sitting on the back row, and he looked at him and went, Charlie Harbin. Dromo said, he looked up at the kid, and he said, shut up, you little brat. You're not supposed to know who I am. I can't go walk.
Oh, man.
Oh.
So that happened to Rocket and Dothan. He had lost a loser leave town or something. They were doing the gimmick, bringing him back under a hood. He came out of the dressing room, he said, this kid spotted him and said, you're supposed to be gone. he said after his match, he went back and told Rocky McGuire, said, well, that kills that gimmick.
got that right.
Well, did you guys catch any heat from with you two working on the opposite sides of the War of Atlanta? Did you guys get any kind of heat from the other boys?
No.
Being related to somebody on the other side?
I never thought about that until you just said that, and I honestly say no.
I mean, we rode together we would ride together like on Monday nights. Bobby, where was it? They were still at the auditorium. Where were we at?
The College Bowl. That old bowling alley.
Bowling alley.
Yep.
We would ride together. I think that was the only town that ran the same, because we weren't even in Macon. Columbus ran on
Monday. Go to Macon. Didn't
we, Bobby, go into the armory a couple of times?
In Macon?
Yeah.
I think.
Never did go to the auditorium.
Never got to the auditorium. Never went to the big building in Macon.
I never went to Coliseum.
Yeah, never went there.
How did y'all draw in Augusta?
At that bowling alley?
We finally went to the Bell Auditorium, didn't we?
We had the Bell Auditorium to begin with. When the split happened, Ann kept the contract. Steve Manderson was the promoter.
Manderson.
He had the contract down there, and he stayed with Ann. So the first year we were in the Bell.
Right.
And then when the contract came up for renewal, Barnett outbid Ann, and that's when they took the auditorium and we went to the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Well,
didn't go to Savannah that much, only a couple of times. I remember being at a football field, or we would go to Statesboro, didn't come to Macon except, like I say, occasionally. Of course, we had an auditorium in Columbus. What was that? What night was that? I can't remember when we ran Columbus.
Ran Columbus on Monday night.
Monday nights.
Yeah.
That's right.
If I was off, I'd go down there and watch y'all. I'd sit way up in the top. Why not?
You know,
right?
I had never met Johnny Walker. So, and of course, I was using that knee lift, right? And Jerry was telling me, you tell it, Jerry.
Oh, he got hot about it. He said, I don't appreciate your brother throwing it.
Well, we had left a program in there from two nights before, and he said, there's the guy that's using my knee.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's exactly what it was. Yeah, it was, Ted and I have talked about this, how that went down, and it was a horrible thing what they did to her. It was a horrible, horrible thing.
Yes, it was.
I mean, I had never seen such greed and backstabbing and lying and cutthroat stuff going in my life. Because I got caught up in the middle of it. I'm talking about I was in the middle of it over here in Savannah with my father-in-law. And, I mean, they were tugging on him, pulling on him. The Atlanta office was pulling on him. Fred Ward was calling. It was this, and this. And then when Lester Welch and them got in here, they tried to steal the town from him. And a lot of people don't know all that crap. They don't know how bad it really was. And, he went back with the NWA and left Dunkel situation. And I confronted them about it, man. I'd only been in there for 2 years. But people didn't know, Ted and I had been around the business. I was like, 10 or 12, 10 or 11, they thought I was stupid. I told them, I said, I know what's going on in Savannah. So they're trying to steal Savannah from Mr. Newman. Oh, no,
you got that wrong. I said,
y'all must think I'm crazy. And they sent Johnny King down here. Did either one of y'all know him?
Who?
Johnny King.
Johnny King.
Bobby, you had to have heard of him. Or Mike.
Is that the guy that was the manager in Florida? Or they used him as a manager?
Let me tell you, I don't know where they got this joker from. They sent him up here to try to help promote the town and all. And
earning Mr. Newman's money up, but man, I was so busy. I'd only been in the business 2 years. If I'd have been in the business as long as I have now, oh man, I'd probably went to the penitentiary. But anyhow, it was awful. So they told Graham what I said, Eddie. So following that thought, I confronted them, Columbus, about it. I said they're trying to steal some. No, you don't know what you're talking about. There's a war going on. I said, I don't care what's going on. I said, I'm not stupid. So Eddie Graham got me hemmed up at the auditorium in Atlanta. I used to dress downstairs, and I was coming up. I was going down the steps. He'd been down there looking for me, and he was coming up the steps. He said, Jerry, I understand you're upset about what's going on in Savannah, but this is going on. I said, yeah, Eddie. I said, but I'm not stupid, man. I said, I was mad, you know. Here's innocent people that have gotten caught up in this thing, and Lester Welch coming in here was like me getting in a ring full of lions. It was just, I don't know, it was horrible, man. It was just, I don't know what y'all were hearing over there, but it was just as bad over here for a while, I'm telling you. It was horrible.
You know, the weird thing was they were doing taping at Channel 17, and we would pass each other in the parking lot.
So many Saturdays, yeah.
They would do taping before us, and then as they were leaving, we would be walking in. We used the same ring, everything.
Yep.
Channel 17.
But how did the tapes go for TV? I don't remember. Bobby, how'd that go?
I missed the question. Do what now?
Don't you remember we were both filming at Channel 17?
Yeah,
but how did the tapes go? How did that work on 17?
They showed your show was on first and ours was on second. Y'all were from 6 to 7, we were from 7 to 8.
Still a two-hour run.
Still a two-hour run. That's when the two-hour run started. See, it was 1 hour up until that. Then they went to 2 hours. And then when the dust settled and it was Georgia Championship Wrestling again, they kept the 2 hours.
They kept the two hours, right.
On Saturdays you was on the road, you didn't get to see it anyhow, you know. But I've forgotten about that, how that actually worked.
Yeah, it was...
It was back-to-back.
They put their ring crew put the ring up, and me and Larry Nichols took it down after TV.
So they ran them back-to-back on Saturday.
They ran them back-to-back because we didn't... We went to Carrollton or Porterdale. We didn't have, of course, we didn't have the Columbus TV to contend with.
Or Covington.
Or Covington, yeah, the little building in Covington.
So I'm glad
you said Covington, Mr. Ted. The last time we had a little get-together up here, Charlie said, he had talked to you and you were going to try to get up here. Do you remember, this was back, it must have been late 72, early 73. I'd been aggravating Ted about all these little teeny boppers signing autographs, wanting his autograph. And I'd been aggravating him about, oh, look here, got another one, you're robbing the cradle. And I was doing the ring announcing in Covington in that little building over there. And I'm standing in the ring, and here comes Ted for his match. And he gets in the ring, and when he gets in the ring, rather than going to his corner, he walks straight toward me. And do you remember walking over to me, and you handed me a program, and you had signed it? To my friend, Ted Oates.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that. I have still got that picture in a photo album, and I went back there and dug it out, and I was going to show it to you. I've still got that thing. That's been 30 years ago or more. I've still got that thing.
Well, I'm trying to think if that was the building. Did you referee that boxing match with me and Cowan that night? But Cowan was about half blind anyhow.
I refereed several of them.
And I was doing all that ollie stuff and throwing punches around before the match started. And he came walking at me, and I threw a punch at and knocked him out. Do you remember that?
I don't remember. I don't know if I was in on that one or not.
Charlie might have refereed.
I was in the ring the night you guys had the double knockout, and he thought he was on his grandmother's farm.
That was in Savannah.
Yeah.
That was in Savannah at the Civic Center. I remember that well. We both, yeah. Yeah.
Where did y'all actually run on Saturday? Did y'all have a standard like we did?
We'd go to Carrollton. We never went to Griffin. We went to Carrollton, Porterdale, or Covington, right, Bobby?
Yeah, we ran Covington in that old fairgrounds building, which was very small. That building's still
right.
sitting over. They still use it for the fair. But then we moved to Porterdale, which was a little mill town just 2 minutes outside of Covington that had a bigger gymnasium, had a nicer building.
And, it wasn't a bad little building.
No, it wasn't. That building burned about 2 years ago.
You kidding me?
The exterior of the building was brick, and of course it's still intact, but it took the roof off and gutted the inside. They're trying to raise money over there to rebuild it, but I live about maybe 10 minutes from that building.
How did y'all do there?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
We would go to Athens.
Ran Athens on Thursday.
Yeah, that was TIFF.
Yep.
Then we would go to Rome sometimes. Gosh, where else? And then, of course, Dickie was running Buena Vista. Was we running America's, Bobby?
He ran America's. He ran a lot of those little towns right there, south of Columbus.
Yeah, he ran like Montezuma.
He ran Greenville.
Yeah, Greenville, I forgot about that. Yep. Man, oh man.
Manchester,
yep.
Did y'all grow in Manchester?
First couple of times we drew good crowds, didn't it?
Yeah.
Just so-so.
It was a hard town. A lot of people tried it.
Cobbleton, it drew pretty good.
Yeah. We used to run Thomaston, too, in the National Guard Army over there.
Yep, that's right. Yep, sure did. Man, oh, man.
But that split caused a lot of towns to get matches, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Now, the split was my doorway to get into the business, and I'm forever grateful for it. But for the guys that were in the business that were established, what a horrible 2 years that was. Guys
well,
didn't know what to do.
Okay, well, nobody would know what to do, Bobby. And,
yeah.
and we've talked about this before, Bill Bowman talks about he got caught up in it. And you know, and if the other office didn't want you, you had to stay where you were, and he had just evidently gotten here, and you didn't want to pack up and go. I mean, it was a mess. It was past everybody.
The first year of that war, Ann was selling out. I mean, we had the established talent that had been in the territory, so we had guys that people knew.
Of course,
and they were. I mean, you know, Fuller or whoever was running it over there, they were bringing people from all over the country, and people had read about them in the magazines, but they didn't know them. So
right.
we were running on, when we first started running on Atlanta, we ran on Friday night at that Oglethorpe Gym. That's the first place I ever met Ted.
That's
was
right.
Was at that gym there.
Yeah,
and,
I
run
there.
You know, the first year, nobody knew who was going to win that thing because we were both drawing good houses.
I tell you, another town, Bobby, that drew good was that Civic Center in Warner Robins.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yep, Dickie ran that. We ran that on Friday night.
Yep. That
Warner
that
Robins drew?
Yep.
Yes, it did.
It drew real
that
well.
Was,
the building
that
was
a neat. It was a neat building. It had a stage, but it was a round, like a, what do you call it? Like a
amphitheater type setup.
Yeah. Every seat in there was a good seat. Yeah,
Go ahead, Ted. I didn't know if any of y'all had ever wrestled in that auditorium in Macon downtown. That was a heck of a building.
Yes,
never
it was.
Did. I never went there. They were always in the. I always
the balcony. The balcony looked right down on the ring.
Did you go there, Mike? Did you ever in that building?
No. No, the only time I ever went to Macon was that one that's right not far from the interstate. That's by the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was a good building downtown. Is it still there, Ted?
Yeah, it's still there. It you know, I don't know you know, there's no parking. There's parking on the street and stuff. But, I, Jerry and I were talking to Bobby and Mike the other day about the old City Auditorium in Atlanta. Where did people park? You remember the old parking lot behind the auditorium?
Yep.
And then there was one on that side street where we would come in the doors on the side. That's the only two parking lots I remember.
There were several parking lots a little further, a couple blocks away. There was a lot of parking because of the hospital being right there, too.
But can you imagine, you know, there were no lights. There were no street lights out there. There was nothing. It was pitch black dark.
Yep.
Can you imagine being down there now in the middle of the night?
Ted, I don't think you ever worked there. Bobby, I don't know if you ever worked there, but I know Jerry did. The building is no longer there, but in Hattiesburg, they worked in an old auction barn.
And I remember that building.
This was an actual barn. It's called the Wade Kennedy Livestock Arena. And they had, I guess the building held about 1,200, but they had parking for about 7. And people would literally walk there. Because this building was right in the middle of the neighborhood, and people would walk there from their houses, and they would sell that place out. I mean, they'd be hanging from the rafters there.
It was hot. It was a hot town.
But they tore that building down several years ago.
You know, I was just when you were saying that, Mike. I was thinking the old building in Dothan. Remember when it had the dirt floor and the concrete steps?
I remember that dirt floor real well.
Gee whiz.
I hated that dirt floor. It was red clay is what it was.
Yeah, it was like Georgia clay, exactly.
And now there's a building that had atmosphere.
Yep.
And if you walked in there and they were going to have a horse show the next day, they'd till it up. It was about 2 foot deep.
And there was another one. There was an auction barn in Dublin that had a dirt floor.
Dublin, yes, sir.
Remember that one?
I don't know. Yep. I didn't go to that one.
Yep. They didn't have any showers. You had to wash off with a water hose out of the
water hose outside. Sure did.
Yep.
But it would draw. I mean, it'd be full of people. Man, oh, man.
Well, guys, we've got some callers here. I'm going to try and get some of them on the line with us. Let me get some of them are some of our regulars, but there's one I don't recognize, so let me try and get this one. Caller from area code 214, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, fellas. How y'all doing tonight?
Good.
Hey.
Hey, Tommy. How are you, sir?
I'm real good. Yourself? Doing
all
right?
I'm doing well. Ted, you probably don't recognize that voice, but that's the infamous Mr. Tom Ernesto Jr. on the other end there.
Well, I'll be done. How you doing, Tom?
Real good, Teddy. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Ted, you don't know about this, but Tom's got me booked in Brunswick. Brunswick, Georgia.
It's coming up, buddy. It's coming up real soon.
Tell us what you're going to do, Jerry.
They could shoot me out of a cannon down there in Brunswick.
It's Cole Brothers Circus.
It's Cole Brothers Circus. We're shooting him out of the cannon.
Tom, where are you living now, buddy?
I'm in Garland, Texas, buddy. It's my home.
Okay.
Garland, Texas. I go back to work middle of March.
How's Tim doing?
Tim's doing real good. He's in Nashville now. He's doing real well, doing excellent.
Good.
Everybody's fine. Everybody's doing real good.
Good.
I was listening to your show, and I figured, well, I'll call him tonight just to say hi. I've been kind of hanging out. I don't go back to work until the 25th of March, so I'm at home with the kids right now.
Well,
you tell them to get that cannon greased up and ready to go, whatever it takes.
Yeah,
I want
to
get
it set to go.
And please let us know when it is, because I know I will buy a ticket.
You don't have to buy a ticket, guys. I told you I put y'all on the front row.
Yeah, we're probably going to be the catchers.
The catchers, yeah.
Oh,
oh Lord.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
oh,
I'll be on 911 calling ambulance.
Has there ever been a brother act that got shot out of the cannon?
There ain't going to be one this time either.
If it can be a first, we can do it. It can be a first. We sure can.
Ted, tell you, you said we need to make one more splash. That would do it.
Yeah, well, yeah, that would do it.
Oh.
Yeah, we could come on as a tandem.
To it. We'll book it. Ain't a problem. I'll call Ron West right now, and I'll get that set up right now if that's what you guys want to do with a phone call. Take just one phone call.
Yeah, make sure you have an ample supply of batty bags.
Hey, don't worry. We'll catch you guys. You know, we're safe. Don't worry. You're in good hands.
You know, that would be the only time that you missed the net. That'd be the only time. See, if that was me, I'd wind up out there in the popcorn machine at the concession stand.
Well, boys, I'm just, you know, I know you guys have seen the act. Excuse me. I know you've seen the act before where they shoot the guy out, and they got a full net and a whole bit. This ain't a full net, guys. This is about a half net with four guys down hanging on to it. Hanging on to the strings of it, you got to land in it. So if
yeah.
you miss it,
be like the Keystone Cops with one of them little nets, like the firemen use.
You know, most acts that you see like that, they use a full net, give you a lot of room. Well, this cannon, the way this tent's set up, they shoot you through the trapeze stuff and all the stuff that's hanging. And catch you in the half net on the other side of the
well,
tent.
See, what would happen to me, I'd hang myself in one of them trapeze things. Yeah, I'd never even make it to the net.
That's why I want to go out second, see how you do, and then I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think they're in Brunswick. It's the first week of April, I think we're there. I know we start in DeLand, Florida on the 25th, and then we move up from there. I hear you're going to Munster, Texas, Jerry, in April.
Yeah, he's trying to get me to come out there, the last of April.
Yeah, I'm supposed to go out there for that, too. I talked with Johnny a couple of weeks ago about it. If I can get free, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I'll be at, but I'm going to try to make it.
Do you know, Tom, that I've got a tape? I don't know if you remember this or not. Me and Jerry against you and Tommy Gilbert in Memphis.
We talked about that, Ted, some time ago. A few months back.
Tom. That's when Tom retired.
Yeah, that's why Tom's in the circus business now. He wasn't able to walk too good after that.
Yeah, that was the whole deal. After working that match with you guys, I had to take 6 months off. And I ain't walked straight since then. I'm still walking crooked. Are you kidding? I remember that, Ted. I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, your dad was there that night.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
And Lou Thez was doing the matches with Ann and...
Freddie Miller.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was.
Yeah, I remember that. I sure do. I surely do. You still got that tape? That's an old tape, sure enough. My goodness. That's been years ago. That was back in 80.
That's 85.
85, sure was.
Yep.
I'm not that old, God.
You got old that night, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm not that old. I don't believe that. That can't be true.
Is Tommy Gilbert still around?
Yes,
sir.
He
is. Yeah, he was in Mobile last year.
Yeah, he was at the reunion last year.
First time I went to Japan, me and him went to Japan together. He's a nice fella.
Yep.
Real nice guy.
Yep.
Ted, I'm going to get one of your early mentors on the phone here with us. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm sure you'll recognize the voice.
All right. Tom, it's good talking to you, buddy.
Good talk to you, Teddy. Real nice.
And be sure and tell Timmy I asked
Smith
about him,
here?
Okay?
I'll do that just as soon as we get done. Not Charlie Smith.
Hello, everybody. Nice talking to you old timers, you know it. let's have good stories, you know it.
I'm 45 years old. I'm not an old timer yet.
Charlie, you're right in the thick of all of it.
Ted.
Yeah.
You and Jerry, you know where y'all were at today, 32 years ago today?
I don't remember where I was this time yesterday.
32 years ago, you and Jerry was messing Larry Cheatham, Larry Latham and Charlie Fuller.
Charlie Fulton, not Charlie Fuller.
No, it's Charlie Fulton.
And where?
It's Channel 17. No.
Mm-mm-mm. 32 years ago.
Yeah.
32 years ago. Goodness.
See, y'all old timers, you know.
Hey, you got that
Bobby.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Tell them about Steinborn Book in Columbus, outdoor show, and it, the rain. They ain't never heard that story, have they?
Ted was there that night. He booked that football stadium right next door to the, was it Memorial Field or whatever they call it, right there next to the
Memorial Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, and we got there, we drove up about, I don't know, 7 o'clock I guess it was, and we got up there and sun was out, hot, and evidently it rained that afternoon. There's a big old sign taped up on the thing. It said, wrestling canceled due to rain. And, the sun was out. It was shining. So I walked over and picked Charlie pulled up about the same time I did. Now we walked over and got on the payphone. Called Charlie Harbin. You didn't even need the phone to hear Charlie. Charlie Smith was standing halfway across the parking lot and he heard every word that was said.
Y'all didn't
rain well, was ill.
No, Dickie canceled it because it rained Charlie Harbin told me one time, he said, he said, when I get mad at Dickie, he said, I'm not really mad at Dickie. He said, I'm mad at Milo. He said, Milo could have drowned him when he was a little boy and nobody had ever missed him.
Charlie told me that he kidnapped Dickie and his brother when they were little boys for Milo.
He did.
And
sir, I remember that. Charlie telling me that.
And Charlie told me, he said, I should have left him on Grant Street.
Jerry, y'all were talking about Salito Rodriguez a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
One night I was refereeing in Augusta, and Salito had to come all the way from Pensacola to Augusta. Would you believe he fell asleep when I was counting his shoulders?
You counted slow, I guess. You must have been counting slow, Charlie.
No, he was
as slow as you counted. No wonder.
I had to wake him up. You know it. You know what his favorite saying was, Jerry?
What?
Fifty-dollar.
$50. What was it?
$50. $50.
Boy, what days, huh?
Somebody told Charlie one time, said, Charlie, you're Dean Silverstone, the guy used to be the promoter one of the promoters out in Washington State. He said, Charlie started in the business so long ago, the count of the shoulders was one when he started.
Now, don't you two guys come to Mobile this year now?
Well, we're trying to decide who's going to pick us up.
By all means, Bobby will. He's driving my van, so I'm not the driver. I'm a riding.
Old Tom Jr. might could shoot me out of a cannon over there.
There you go.
I'll leave it that direction, buddy. We'll get you there. Hey.
Hey, but if you land in the bay, we'll come fish you out. Big hole and fish you out. We'll stand on the causeway and fish you out.
Ted.
Well, guys, we're down to about 5 minutes, but I want to get one more call in here because I know he's going to want to say hello to Ted, so hang on just a second. Mr. Bowman, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey,
Ted.
I
hey, Bill, how are you doing?
Ted.
I'm doing fine.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Do you remember you and I standing in San Juan, Puerto Rico, on the street talking, and around the corner came Jim Barnett, and he saw us, and he said, "Hi, Ted. Hi, Bill. Oh, y'all the opposition," and twitched and left and went the other opposite way.
Yep. Sure do.
I never heard that story.
Yet I forgot all about that, Bill, so you mentioned that. Do you remember Jerry Graham getting buck naked and jumping in that pool at the Normandy Hotel?
Yes, sir, I'm the one that helped get him out of there.
Oh, man.
I also remember Mr. Theodore there telling me that they cut the water off and he had to take a bath in the swimming pool so he could come home.
That's right. They sure did. And I was staying at the Holiday Inn by the airport. I forgot why they turned the water off. Bill, do you remember? Do you remember they were having some kind of water something shortage or something down there? Do you remember that?
Yeah, he shit in the pool. That's why.
Oh, man.
Ed, are you coming to the reunion this year?
I don't know. Jerry and I have kind of talked about it. I don't know.
Well, this is our 20th year and our 20th anniversary, and a lot more of us old farts would be dead. And so we just wanted to see you guys, and we appreciate y'all being friends and working with you many times. That's all
yeah,
I got to say tonight.
I appreciate it very much, Bill. It's good talking to you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Take care, Bill.
Well, before we run out of time, I just want to mention something going on this weekend. Saturday in Villa Rica is the long-awaited Ted Allen Memorial that they moved once again from his school to one in Villa Rica. And, Ted, you're going to be in charge.
Not for sure. I've had something to come up. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to make it or not.
Okay. Well, I know they're having a meet and greet, and Bobby's gonna be there. Charlie's gonna be there. Jimmy Powell, just a bunch of guys that have worked with Ted and worked throughout Georgia and the Southeast. I'm gonna go down there so I can read up Michael. See if Charlie won't let me tote his bag in the building for him.
No, you gotta pay. Don't preloaders.
And Bob Kelly's coming up from Mobile, but anybody's listening, this is for a good cause. It's been delayed, but they've put together a great lineup for the show that night. Besides all the people that are going to be there for the meet and greet, and the doors open at 5, and first match is at 6:30, and. Again, the proceeds go to Ted's mother and Gulf Coast reunions, Sunshine Fund, and everything. And then the proceeds from the concessions go to the school. That is, if Charlie doesn't figure out a way for some of it to go in his pocket.
We don't need to get first
hand, please. Lord knows.
I certainly recommend and encourage everybody to that can turn out, because this is for a great cause, and I'm looking forward to being out of Alabama, to be truthful. I'd go anywhere just to get away from Alabama at this point.
You want to get out? That we want to come down there.
Well, you coming down next week or next month, I should say.
Yeah.
Joe's already scouted out his place to stand at the front of the motel to greet you guys. He's the official greeter ambassador. But guys, we are out of time for this week, Ted. I certainly appreciate you joining us, and if you're willing, we didn't near touch on all the subjects I wanted to talk about tonight, but depending on your schedule, I'd like to have you back sometime in the near future.
Sure, that's fine. No problem. Just, Jerry, you can call me or just let me know.
All right, we can do that.
And guys, I appreciate it as always, Jerry and Bobby and Charlie and Tim Jr. or Tom Jr. I should say.
Yep.
And great
night all of all you guys.
It was good talking to you
Bill
guys.
And
yeah, I'll be glad to do it anytime.
Next week. All right.
Take care, Jerry. Always get shape. The cannon's coming, buddy. The cannon's coming.
Good night, guys.
Good night, guys.
Night, guys.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.